Good evening, loud and proud listeners. We have made it to the... What is the date today? It's like the 6th of August, something like that. We've made it to August. That's what matters. And we are halfway through the year. We're plummeting towards Christmas. That's a scary thought. But we are... we're here. We're all here. I will introduce the team in a bit. And this show is dedicated to love and relationships. We're going to talk about... our successful ones, which aren't very many, our fouled ones. We're gonna check in with our agony aunt or uncle. But to kick things off, there is only one thing this world needs right now, and that is love.
To climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs. Just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Oh, listen, Lord.
See, that's exactly what the world needs right now. After all, well, after what we've been going through, the world needs a little bit of love. And so does some of us here in the house tonight, this evening. That's the same word. We have my co-host, Ashley Edwards. I was going to call you Ashley Edwards then. It sounds better than Ashley Edwards.
I mean, does it? Because that means then I'll be AA. So I'd be like, Roadside Recovery.
Maybe, or Alcoholics Anonymous. Which is probably more relevant.
It's more suited.
How are you?
Yes.
Good.
That's the answer. Obviously, I work in the NHS, and so as you can imagine, it's a magical place where everything's going wrong. That kind of, you know, but I've got gin, I've got friends. It's all fine.
That's all you need. Also, steering this ship, or he's not, because I'm steering it. It's the wonderful Mark Lancaster. How are you?
Good evening. I'm okay. Is it ish? No.
Oh dear. It's going to be a long evening.
I'm right.
It's going to be one of those evenings. I'm excited.
just turned 55, you know.
Yes. And you don't look it.
Yeah, lucky there are no cameras because he is looking 55 right now.
I am looking 55. I'm feeling it at all at the moment, isn't it?
I'll stop it. Well, it's happy belated birthday.
Thank you, dear. I'm okay. I'm just a bit, you know.
Just a bit you need a bit of love.
No, I'm just a bit bored of it all, to be honest, you know. It's just like...
Do you not feel that now people are starting to integrate? Are you still feeling like you don't want to integrate or like integrate?
I'm integrating a little bit more, but not as much as other people. I mean, like, I wouldn't go to a pub.
Okay.
Things like that, yeah.
I wish I could say that.
No, no, I wish I could say that too, because I've definitely done that.
I went to an event around a mate's garden on Friday night and all social distancing, and that was quite pleasant. But that's the first time I've really had any sort of proper social apart from a meeting in a park with a couple of mates.
I must say, it's been quite nice with me and my friends. We've been meeting in parks and doing a lot of meeting on the beach, which has been quite nice. But like in the evening when it's a lot quieter.
Well, yeah. I met my next guest, my sister from another Mr. and Mrs., Nikki Nicholas. We met a couple of days ago for a coffee, didn't we?
It was yesterday.
It was, but remember, we're pre-recording, so it was actually a couple of days ago. But it doesn't matter, you know.
I was going to say
the hack of, you know, ness. Yeah, we could have pretended we were live, but that's blown it now. But yes, we did meet yesterday.
It's 8:10 on August the 6th. See,
it is. Yeah. You know, I can't remember seeing you yesterday. Maybe that's because it was so good, I forgot about it.
Well, I was going to say to Mark that if now is the time to get integrating, because you like to eat out and there's all this like help out, eat out. So I got quite a good squeeze yesterday, because it was my turn to buy coffee for Dan, and I bought him a bit of cake, and I bought myself a coffee and a sandwich, and it was all half price.
That's amazing.
How does it work then?
I think it's participating restaurants. I don't think.
You have to go to the right. We have to find a restaurant that participates.
There's quite a few that participate.
There's a list on Southend Council's website that tells you which ones are participating. Yeah,
I'm just uneasy about it all, really. That kind of thing. I don't know. It's like
you're never easy about dirty chicken.
Well, no, it's not that. But I mean, Johnson was going on the other day about, oh, we've got to be wary of the second spike. Well, we haven't had to finish the first one yet. You know what I mean?
So I must
still getting over 100 deaths a week, 200 deaths a week. That is not okay.
So I will say, though, Mark, that some establishments that I've been to have been very good. Some,
yes, I've heard that too.
Some have been terrible.
Yes.
And I'll never go there again for a long time. But somewhere like, I don't mind saying the name of the company. Molo Lounge, for instance.
Yeah, I saw you say that was very good.
And I do love Molo Lounge. They do table ordering, and you don't have to go up to the bar at anything. Anything you can order at your table, and you just sit where you are.
That's an improvement for Molo Lounge.
I thought it should be anyway.
I hated queuing at the bar.
I know, but all the tables are farther apart, and they have a very clear way of showing which tables have not been used yet. You see them cleaning everything down. All the menus are disposed of. Nothing's reused, so they've worked very hard to get it to where they want.
Well, I actually met a mate and went down the seafront. She wanted to go for something to eat, so we went to one of the Archway cafes last weekend, and the ones nearer the pier were just rammed. So we went to a further one down the end. We went to Smiley's in the end.
And, yay!
And actually, we sat inside, and we were the only people in there.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I was all right about that.
You know, there was no one else. There wasn't anybody on top of me. I'm not worried. I'm not concerned. Well, you know, obviously I am a bit concerned about catching it myself. But what I don't want to be is a transmitter.
Yeah.
And somebody else. I'm going to see my parents at the weekend. And, you know, that terrifies me, the fact that I might transmit it to them. And I'll pick it up. So, you know, I'm just being very, very careful. And this whole eating cheap. I understand why they're doing it, but then when on today I saw a tweet from Jeremy Hunt, who is a multi-millionaire, bragging about how he got 50 quid off his bill.
He's an idiot.
Thank you very much, Rishi Sunak, for this. You don't need to do it. There's some people who can't.
Also, we were being told we were fat 1 minute, and now we're being effectively you can afford to eat double. Also, one thing I will say is walking down South End High Street, and obviously both McDonald's, yesterday when I walked down, the queues were like nothing on this earth.
Yeah,
that's the scary thing though, isn't it? That it's not gonna, it's gonna help the economy in one way, but it's gonna bankrupt the
It's gonna damage the NHS by paying for your heart attack.
Here is your second spike of obesity.
Well, I saw there was a little meme that went around today. And it was Matt Hancock saying, you can be anyone you like as long as there's a till. And that seems to be it. And in Manchester at the moment, you cannot go and visit your mum and dad, but you can go to the pub and you can go to a restaurant and you can go apparently back to the office.
Well, someone was saying, I think I read a tweet, something similar that was, I'm allowed to eat in a restaurant with another 60 people, but I'm not allowed to spend, you know, have my wedding reception with up to 30 guests.
Or go and see my mum and dad, you know, in some towns. Yeah. You know? It's
mad.
And if they worked out a way of monetizing, that's not the right word, is it? Monetizing the visiting your parents, then you'd be allowed to do that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Railway. Well, because it's all about the
toll. It's all about the dollar, yeah.
More toll roads, maybe.
Yeah, I just find it, because I refuse to participate in their plan. So I think it might cut my nose off to spite my face, and I might not be seeing my mates. But that's all right.
Well, all right, Grumpy, because I'm taking your element of it, because I've three times already this week I've utilised the eat out.
That's fine. I like eating out, and I do
hear where you're quoting from, Mark, because I'm going to go and see my mum for the first time next week since lockdown began. I haven't seen her for 4 months, and she's just bought a brand spanking new puppy.
Oh,
she loved for you. It is a 8-week-old chalky Chihuahua Yorkie cross.
Oh, lovely.
She's called Charlie, and it looks like a tiny, tiny, tiny Doberman because of its colouring.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's really very cute. Excited. So I'm going on Friday to see my mum and dad for a few days, you know. And I've not seen my mum and dad or any of my family since Christmas.
If anyone wants to adopt my family, I'm happy for them to take them. So if you want a mum and dad for a little while, I'll rent them out to you.
Could you put them on Facebook Marketplace?
You get 50% off at the moment. Eat out, help out, take away. Yeah.
So I can eat them?
Yeah, if you want.
Cool.
That's different. Okay.
I'm
all for it.
I'm glad you're all happy and, you know, full of love at the moment. I think you need a little bit more love in your life. So let's have a bit of everlasting love.
Ooh.
Hearts gone astray, deep in hurt when they go. I went away just when you need me so. You won't regret, I've come back begging you. Won't you forget, welcome love. Open up your eyes, then you realize, here I stand with my everlasting love. Need you by my side, girl, to be my bride. You'll never be denied, everlasting love. From the very start, open up your heart.
So we had Everlasting Love by Love Affair and I Want Your Love. That was the 2018 remaster by Chic. Mark's loving my music at the moment.
You are playing really good music. Who's this imposter?
COVID has changed me. Well, don't get excited too quick.
I'm sure you're listening to the entire Lady Gaga album again.
Because you enjoyed it so much.
I've been doing that boy some learning.
I'm learning.
I mean, Love Affair, Everlasting Love, is one of the finest pop records that's ever been made, in my opinion. So.
Do you know when I first heard Everlasting Love?
Did I?
Remember that bird from Casualty that sung it years ago? It was used. Do you remember that, Ashley?
I do remember
bird.
That, yeah. A song that I've fallen in love with this COVID, other than one from Frozen 2 that I heard that's been a bit...
Oh, stop it.
I know, it's been a bit of an earworm, though. I've fallen in love with Birdhouse in Your Soul. That's a bop.
I don't think I've heard it.
Birdhouse in Your Soul?
No. Did it be on your bonnet? Is there a birdhouse in your soul?
I'm not sure that's got it any further in my brain, to be honest, but thanks for that.
I would have thought Mark would have
Okay, so as I said, we wanted to talk about love and relationships, and we were going to be joined by some guests, but they couldn't make it.
They don't love you anymore.
No, they've not shown their love anymore. But it's interesting, the University of Essex are doing a research project into LGBTQ plus couples and hand-holding. The project's called Holding Hands, and they are looking for participants to talk about experiences that they've had about maybe feeling judged, you know, whether they've been attacked whilst walking in their local area holding hands. And interestingly, do you know what? I've just closed the survey down, which had the statistic on it.
That's but really
there is a statistic that says people don't feel safe around holding hands.
No, it's multifaceted for me because, first of all, I really don't like PDA, never have done, in any walk of life, no matter the relationship, no matter what. People that are snogging on benches and effectively trying to eat each other's hypothalamuses, I'm not about that life. I've held hands with my friend Paul, but I did that during Pride because obviously that was in a protected area and I feel more comfortable doing it then. That I kind of feel like I'm doing it as a point, but I certainly wouldn't walk holding hands with a man in the evenings in a busy area just because of the articles, the incidents. I think in my view it's asking for trouble.
So two-thirds of those in an L, two-thirds of those that responded to this survey said that they had avoided holding hands with a same-sex partner for fear of a negative reaction from others. Two-thirds, that's a lot of people, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And this was a couple of years ago. So this was a survey of 108,000 people, and two-thirds of those said that they feared it. So it's obviously still quite... it's still quite current because obviously the project is looking into it and it's been funded by the university, which is really good. So we're hoping to get them back on, but that was meant to be the main theme of the show. But we stuck with it because I chose a cracking playlist and I wanted to play all these songs. I didn't want to create another one. Also another little survey or an article which I want to discuss with you guys because we've got a little mix here. We've got the gay side of the room and the straight side of the room. this was an article from last year in The Stylist. Obviously, you know, popular demand of The Stylist.
Oh yeah, they do a lot of highbrow articles, don't they?
Yeah, and essays and stuff because they're so popular. They have said that Francesco Perez, a senior fellow at the University of Queensland, said that LGBT couples could teach straight couples something about love because they are generally happier than straight couples. Do we agree or disagree?
I disagree.
I would say that unless you've been in both, how do you know?
Also, how do you measure happiness? How can you measure that the person that's answering the question is answering honestly and truthfully? There's also other parameters I think about with older generation LGBTQ people who've had to fight for their right to be in relationships and finally get what they want. There's an element of that there. But also, I know a lot of unhappy LGBTQ couples. I know a lot of happy heterosexual couples. Also, he's done it in Queensland, which is in Australia, which has different LGBTQ issues and statistics and things at the moment. I think there's also the idea that people that are LGBTQ have had a different upbringing and a different frame of reference growing up. So if there has been more bullying, more unhappiness in their life, actually finding someone that loves you may impact on them differently. Doesn't necessarily mean that the relationship works better. Maybe it just makes them happier as a personal thing. I think it's a very complex thing and something that in my mind, because obviously I'm all about fighting for equality, by saying that a particular relationship is better than somebody else's because of their sexuality, I think defeats the object of what we're trying to achieve.
As a straight man, I agree entirely with what Ashley just said, because I don't think you can quantify it. It doesn't matter what, as long as a couple is, who can say that? You might take it further, might you, and say, oh, okay, then in the black community, black couples are more are happier than white couples, or you know, or happier than Asian. It's just, I think that's such a sweeping statement and something there's no way you can quantify it, because
I mean, I
know people who there's a couple of people that I know who have been married for many, 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 many years, and they've just split up and gone their separate ways, and everyone went, really? You know, completely, really? We thought they were, you know, so you can't, and if they'd have been questioned by that man, they might have said, oh yeah, we're happy, because everybody thinks they're happy, and then they obviously weren't.
Okay.
And then other people are, by like tooth and nail all the time, and fighting all the, and they're wonderfully happy. That's the way they live their life.
And
I think it's very difficult.
I think there's an element also that obviously that there are more straight couples that have children than there are gay and lesbian couples. Not to say that they don't at all.
Are you saying children are the way to an unhappy relationship?
I'm not saying that at all as a mum. I am the only parent here, I do believe, on our little program.
That you know.
Not that I know of.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. I have thousands of children around the world.
Who have you been impregnating, Ashley?
I don't know. I never clean the seats after I've left the bus.
Oh stop it. Please.
Okay, I'm making a...
Get back to the point, Nikki. Get back to the point.
The are,
take
point
us back.
Being that... I think you can have very functional, very strong relationships, regardless of whatever situations, children, no children, whatever. But I do believe, and it's not necessarily a personal experience, that when children come into the relationship, so it could be on any side, then it changes the dynamic of that relationship. And not only does it change the dynamic of that relationship, it puts on lots of different pressures. And so the main one being financial pressures, because believe me, children are very expensive. And also, you know, you may have discussed your ideas about parenting a little bit before you chose to have children, or maybe you didn't choose to have children, but it was a blessing that came along. And actually how trying to raise children together with an agreed agenda is very, very difficult, particularly if you come from very different backgrounds. Yeah, I might be talking from experience, but
no, but I know what you're saying, because also we have generational changes as well, where obviously you think about 30, 40, 50 years ago, when to be married was to be to have and to hold forever and ever and ever until you die in the sight of God, or whichever religion it is you're following. And it was the general accepted thing that is your person forever. And then obviously nowadays, where there's less and less people following organized religions, marriage is being seen in very different ways. Civil partnership is being seen in different ways. Divorce is coming around a lot higher. And so relationships are becoming a lot less static. And we're starting to see things like polyamory, and we're starting to see more and more throuples out there and things. And so,
is that a word?
It is indeed. It is. You're welcome.
Yeah, it's definitely a word, yeah.
So it's I think it's a very sweeping statement about a very complex issue.
Well, should we put a bit of context on it? So let's not dismiss poor Francesco already. So Francesco said that the relationship quality was measured using questions about factors like arguments, thoughts of ending the relationship, and how often partners had stimulating exchanges of ideas. They found that people who identified as gay or lesbian reported higher relationship quality overall than people who identified straight in Australia, and the same levels in the UK. So it was done in the UK as well. Another area straight couples could certainly learn from relates to domestic and gender roles. So they talk about how LGBT couples could potentially have more equal domestic roles with, for example, shared household chores and a lesser focus on gendered behaviours.
But yes, but then also I think that comes into masculinity, femininity, feminism and ascribed roles anyway. Mm-hmm. I think I'm seeing a lot more things nowadays with my heterosexual couple friends who don't generally have gender roles in the house.
Well, it's a very generational thing as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is generational thing.
In my parents' generation, for example, now recently my mum has become pretty much immobile and taken over basically almost a supervisory role in cooking. And my dad, for the first time ever, at the age of 81, he's just turned 81, but 80 say, has started to cook. Now, it was just the way it was. So that kind of thing, I don't think in even my generation, but in generation of Dan and Ashley, who are a lot younger than me.
That's true.
That's very true. It is very true. Yeah, you know, you're both 25 years younger than me. But that generation and younger now would split the domestic chores a lot more. And it's not seen, when my dad was a young man, virtually no men cooked. The only man of that generation, is a bit older. My granddad cooked the Sunday lunch, and he cooked at home sometimes, not always, sometimes, because when in the war, he was a galley cook on a warship. Mm. And so that he liked to cook, but he was very, very unusual.
Yeah.
Men didn't ever go in the kitchen to make a cup of tea, let alone.
Yeah, there is that. I also can't help but wonder how Francesco has chosen the couples to ask. Mm. As also, I don't know, has he asked single LGBTQ people who recently come out of relationships? He's asked people that are in relationships who potentially have volunteered themselves because they're in a relationship, and they may feel, oh, we'll do that because, you know, we're together, blah, blah, that'd be a lovely little thing for us to do because we're so happy.
Yeah, are they going to volunteer themselves and say, oh, it's really crap.
I do have to wonder how they sampled it and how they got rid of that variable as well.
Yeah. Well, let's have a think about that. And whilst we do, let's play a little bit of music and we'll continue this discussion straight after. Let's stick with the love themed tracks. And this is called Show Me Love by Laura Mvula.
The thing that we had seemed like everything. Never thought we would be torn apart by a change in the wind or a cloud in the sky. We were always, and you showed me love. of the deepest kind, and I will never find another love like you showed me love, and now I see. The thing that we had, it was everything. Never thought we would be torn apart by a change in the wind or a cloud in the sky. We were always you. As long as there are
So we had Show Me Love there by Laura Mvula, who is... Have you heard of Laura Mvula? You fans?
No,
I haven't
heard
of her.
Yeah, I love her. I went to see her at the Royal Albert Hall. She was doing one of the BBC Proms, like late night sessions. I had to chuck some people out of my seats because they were sitting in my seat. They weren't happy.
Well, when she was sort of first breaking onto the scene, for a long time, she was my vocal crush.
Oh, love her. She's now a bit, she's into fitness loads. Her Instagram, like, stories are full of, like, her just sweating loads.
A bit like me, really.
Oh, absolutely the same.
Laura Mvula.
You have. And then split the room completely with...
I don't think it's split the room.
I think it was 3-1. I love that.
I hated it and everything about it.
An abomination.
It was an abomination. It was terrible.
I must have heard that on a TV show, like at an end or something, and I just Shazammed it. I really like...
What circle of hell were you in?
Stop it. I want people's opinion, not from you guys, because you just don't know. If anyone likes that track, let me know. Just give me a bit of sanity, because I am... That's probably quite far up my most played playlist this year so far.
Obviously, I love the Beach Boys. I've heard a few covers of it, but... Nothing as an abomination as that. That was.
I saw a documentary last week about the making of Pet Sounds, which that comes from, and how that song was so well crafted, and how long it took to Brian Wilson couldn't get.
And the now lyrics. It's just been improved.
Got to Peter Asher in to actually write the lyrics, and he went over to his house and they was. Trying all different couplets and setting it to music and trying to get the right way to do it. And when they come to record it, it took months to get it right. And then someone does that to it.
And then someone does that to it, my friend. Well,
do you know what? I thought that was going to be the one that would have sold it to you tonight, but obviously not. Sorry about that.
Awful.
we'll see if we can improve a bit later on.
I'm just going to say on that, sorry to interrupt you there, but I don't know if you saw my Facebook post. So, you know, I've just been on holiday. Mm. And that reminded me of the cheese I spotted
in the holiday camp shop,
which was mild coloured cheese. So that was mild coloured cheese.
Right, I'll mute you in a minute if you carry on.
Can I just interject? Just think, when I saw that, I just watched a programme. I watched a programme on YouTube, and it's all about celebrities eating increasingly hot wings. And being interviewed, it's really quite funny. But I saw a bit with Gordon Ramsay, and he was talking about that plastic cheese when he does his kitchen nightmares. And he said he went into a kitchen and they still had the cheese in it in the kit fridge, and it was 2 years out of date they were using. So that stuff never goes off.
No, it's like, well, yeah.
It's, it would survive. Actually,
it just gets in your head and it will never go away.
Right, I will have to say, sorry, this is so off the beaten track.
Oh, I'm so ready for this.
Right, so... We actually looked up the ingredients. We took a photograph of the ingredients of mild coloured cheese. There were two ingredients. One of them was milk and the other one was a natural orange colourant. So actually, there wasn't anything else in it. So as much as it looks like a complete... I mean, I wouldn't have touched it with a barge pole. But how you just couldn't have
natural
solved it.
Natural orange colourant could be anything, though, couldn't it?
And I bet...
I must say, though, during my undergrad years, I basically lived off of that because of how cheap it was.
And I was going to say, probably in like a little caravan shop that you were in, it was probably about £4.50.
It was a pound.
But anyway, just in case you want to check that song out, it's by High Contrast. It's called God Only.
No, I won't be doing that. Thank
you. Just in case. So I just wanted to defend Francesco a little bit more. I feel like I need to defend him because we've bought this.
Well, you're defending your music choices. You may as well defend Francesco as well.
So just a little bit around the method. So he got data from just over 25,000 individuals in the United Kingdom and 9,000 in Australia. Mm-hmm. The results were that relationship quality in same-sex couples was as high as in heterosexual couples in the United Kingdom and higher in Australia, which goes on what you were just saying, I suppose, Ashley, around Australia is a bit more liberal. interestingly, or not interestingly maybe, the lowest relationship quality in both countries was reported by bisexual individuals. I'll just leave that pondering. So there is a full 60-page research paper if anyone wants to have a read of it. I found a hack way. It says if you want to get the full version of the article, you have to pay £7. But if you press the little PDF button, it just does it for you for nothing.
Well, that's nice. I would be interested to see how he chose the people to be part of it.
It was a number of different surveys that he pulled information from and stuff. I don't think he did. I don't think he surveyed them himself. I think he...
Freaking long while, 25,000 people.
Well, yeah, ringing them up. Are you happy?
It's a lot of tea and biscuits.
Are you gay? Yes. Yeah. Are you in a relationship? Yes. Are you happy? Yes. Yeah. Great. Thanks for that.
Brilliant. Done.
But just interesting. I think, I don't know, from experience, my relationship experience is very limited, but from seeing other same-sex couples, I do, lesbians seem to fall into things very quickly.
That's the stereotype, isn't it?
It's true, because all my lesbian friends are like, you know, they're dating
from
one
your
minute,
small
the next
sample
minute,
size, yeah.
Yeah, they're married, and then...
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, my... I've
and then they're
got,
divorced.
Yeah, I've got a few lesbian friends who... One couple that I know specifically, actually, it was last week. I think they started dating a month ago and they're engaged now. It's
the sample size is getting bigger.
Whereas my one of my best friends, she was with her girlfriend for 4 years before she proposed, and they only just then got a baby French bulldog terrier, which again is a stereotype. married a year later, so they took it very, very slow.
So talking about love and relationships, and we'll stick on this discussion, this straight versus gay thing, because it seems to work. Do we think next discussion point, do we think dating is easier if you're looking for a same-sex couple than it is if you're looking for a heterosexual couple?
I would say I want to be careful how I say this. I think it's harder for we'll say gay men to meet. Due to, first of all, it's 0.1% of British society identify as gay. It's slightly higher if you include gay and bisexual. Therefore, automatically, your dating pool is smaller. And then with that comes this passive feeling of, oh, what if I am just settling because there's such a small amount of people to choose from, as it were. That's the only way that I would say it's harder, because I also, with my straight friends, and a lot of my straight friends are dating at the moment, using all the apps and stuff, that is also has its own set of difficulties that I don't even have to consider as a gay man, especially some of my female friends who are meeting men for dates, and some of these other microaggressions and other things that you have to consider, safety and things that I've never had to consider before.
You do have to consider safety. I think it doesn't matter whoever you are. I can speak very knowledgeably about dating sites, because a very good friend of mine recently separated from her husband, and they've physically separated and moved apart. And when lockdown happened, she had to stay away from... She had nowhere to live because her house she was buying fell through. So the children had to go and stay with him. And because he was having cancer treatment, he was having chemotherapy, he had to stay, the kids had to stay in that bubble as that shield. So she was very, very free for the first time in a long time. And I tell you what, some crazy stuff goes on.
Oh, yeah.
Because you mean she turned up one day, and I know there was a BBC documentary about catfishing, and that is a really big thing. And she was catfished, but I mean, I have to say,
I don't even know what that means, to be honest.
Well, it means
they're not who they say they are.
Oh, okay,
You see, you know, she's showing me a photo of this guy in Florida, and he wants to send her money, and he's sending these pictures of himself in his mansion, and then he's coming over to London, and he's going to put her up in a beautiful hotel, and here's a photograph of him in his private jet, and I'm looking at them going,
Yeah.
And she's going, oh, no, he just sets it up, blah, blah, blah. And then the next minute she turns up and says, he's asked me for money.
I saw a program about this. It was like one of those, I think it might have been Panorama. But that's the one, or something like that.
You don't know that word.
But it's late in the evening. This woman, this older woman, and it stereotypically is older women that fall for these younger Mediterranean men, and maybe not.
I understand their plight, though.
She fell for it, started sending money, and then, wait for it, she was told, and then she found someone else and did exactly the same thing. How can you not learn from that? So catfishing, Mark, is if I was using... Hang on, let's just educate Mark on catfishing. I could be using your photos, Mark, on my Grindr profile, and then when they obviously come round and get disappointed.
So there's a way actually around catching catfishes. It's actually quite easy, because I've been catfished a couple of times, but obviously I don't send any money, I don't give any information, and you can usually spot it by the pictures. If someone's sending a picture of themselves in their mansion, they are likely a catfish because they can pay for love. if you save the image and pop it into a database called Reverse Image Search, you can Google search a photograph to see if it's been used anywhere else.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I thought that are catfishing. Nine times out of 10, they've been on various models' Instagrams and stuff like that. Just been taken.
And the catfishes are usually in the forces, the US forces.
Oh, yeah.
They're not.
Facebook and stuff like that. But the friend I was away with at the lovely park holidays, holiday I had last week, she also had an experience whereby, you know, somebody shows this picture of this like bearded Adonis.
Mm.
And then she was clever because there was only one picture and they agreed to meet. They didn't live too far apart. So she sent him a few more pictures and she waited for his, then nudged him to send one. And she said it was just this bald old man.
Oh, honey.
Said, why the hell did you do that to me?
Yeah.
And then apparently he spent ages begging her to go out.
No.
Do you not feel sorry for these? Like,
no.
You don't. You've got no sympathy for them, but they feel that they're not worthy enough to...
No, because they're doing it by deception. They're not doing it by self-improvement, loving themselves and being happy with who they are and seeking support from the right people. They're doing it by lying. And
I'm someone who, as a dating goes, I have not really ever done it, to be honest. I mean, I've had a few girlfriends and stuff, but I've not really ever done it. And, you know, I had a dating site for a while and I got burnt. And she wasn't a catfish. I wasn't catfish, but she was a wrong one. Anyway, that's another story. She was a wrong one. She was a wrong one. But I don't understand as a person who, you know, I would like to go out with people and date. But someone who would then just lie about it. So cause it's never going to work.
No.
Exactly.
At some point, you've got to meet that person, haven't you?
Yeah. And I think it's...
But there's a point when you've got to meet that person. They're not going to turn up and say, you don't look like Brad Pitt. You look like you. Okay. But anyway, I prefer you.
I think it gives you an idea that even if you want to feel sorry for these people that are deceiving you and whatnot, it's automatically giving you... At the very beginning of a dating situation, they have got a lot of baggage and a lot of issues they've not dealt with. So I've actually officially been catfished. Mark, I think you may have seen it in my stand-up. I talk about it. It's a true story. It was a picture of a lad. I see that it was real, and he was a good-looking guy, kind of like a head-on photo shot. And he said he was a rugby player. And I thought, well, I've never dated a rugby player before. This might be quite nice. And I want to see a hooker's head, do you know what I mean? And so then we met up for a drink in Lee, and he was a few minutes late, and he turned up, and this chap was morbidly obese, And when I say morbidly obese, I don't just mean that he was a bit chubby. He was out. He was clinically obese, and the face was his, so that wasn't changed. It was just that he did not have the physique that I was expecting for a rugby player. He was also very, very rude and very up himself. And I thought I'm still going to chat to him. I have no physical attraction to him at all, but I am going to chat to him to see if there's anything salvageable from this, like, friendship-wise. But I did have to say to him, look, mate, I've got to ask you, do you still play rugby? He was like, yeah, I play every weekend. I'm like, oh, okay, amazing. Like, what position do you play?
What do you know, Ashley?
Mascot. I know what a mascot is.
What did you say?
To rugby position.
I am thanked him for the lovely time. Told him I'm sorry, I shan't be having a second drink, and I left.
Did you laugh when he said mascot?
Obviously, I do improv comedy on a stage. I'm having to learn how not to laugh.
Not to call. It worked quite well.
I think he may have seen it in my lazy eye, though, because that girl can't lie.
coming back to, like you were saying, Nikki, about the I think, you know, people dating, like, virtually, like, via apps and stuff. I think one of my good friends is doing the whole internet thing, and she's just got really disillusioned by it, because most of the straight men are just, they start off really nice conversation, and then within about four messages they're starting talking about sex.
Yeah.
And there is places for that. Where's there for straight community?
I think my friend, she establishes in the first message, she says, hello, just so you're aware, I'm looking for serious dating. And if this is going to get sexual early doors,
that's good, because you can, like, scare them off straight away if they're not.
Yeah, absolutely, because I know people that will put up, right, like, no one night stands, no hookups, and no dick pics.
But I think some men think, but she hasn't met me yet.
Yeah,
she hasn't seen mine yet.
She hasn't seen my dick pic.
You haven't seen it with the right lighting and
the good angle.
The whole concept of online dating and stuff like that, I'm a different generation to it. I'm too old for it. Do you know what I mean?
You can't date through a typewriter, can you?
I met someone via the internet, and I lived with them for 6 weeks, and then they just decided one day they were going to go, and I've never seen them since. So, you know, that's when I say she was a wrong one, she was a wrong one. But, maybe I'm a bit wary of it now. But even then, it was like, that was the first time I'd ever tried it. And it was like, I don't know how it works. I mean, they just email someone. Oh, you know, I can't approach a woman in a blooming bar to talk to them. So I'm not going to do it to someone I've never seen in my life online. I just don't get it.
But being on the reverse side of that, I have made some excellent friends.
Oh, sure.
Grindr, I've made some excellent friends, which hasn't been sexual at all. Mm. One of whom I still do improv with today. Mm. And I have met a guy who I really, really fancied through the app. He turned up. He was exactly who I thought he was. We gelled really well, and we are still friends today, and we dated for a bit. Mm. We just weren't compatible with him. Then he moved to Australia. I couldn't get any further away from me if he tried.
New Zealand's a little bit funny. He probably wasn't trying hard.
Yeah. Thankfully, then, when we started talking, he did say, by the way, in a few months, I am going to Australia. Mm. That was really it. So there can be successes out there. And indeed,
it's fine, yeah.
My friend Lauren and James, I think you may have met them, Mark.
Yeah.
I used to live with them for a couple of years. Genuinely the nicest people on the planet. And also they're both exceptionally good looking, but sweet. Mm. They met through Plenty of Fish. They are now happily married and own a house together, and they are inseparable and the most lovely couple I've ever seen in my life.
It works very, very well for lots of people. And isn't there a statistic now that most people will meet, most couples now, the majority of, will meet via online?
Well, I'd imagine it's probably increased because of COVID and restrictions.
I suppose it's meant to make it easier for people who don't really ever meet people, but it hasn't for me, because I don't think I'm the right personality type to actually do anything about it anyway. But regardless, it's just, if you're but quite retiring and quite shy in that respect, it doesn't make it any easier, put it like that.
Yeah, whereas I'm the other way around. I am that guy that walks the guy in the bar. I get a lot of rejection, but well,
hold the rejection thing, because I want to talk about rejection and I want to pick up on how we might feel about that. But what we're all trying to eventually do is meet the one. And this is Georgia Smith with The One.
Never had to work for love. Don't need you to show me how. Don't wanna be falling in when I'm falling out. Didn't think I'd give for love. Every time I hold it back, nothing's lost in my head. I'm trying to find who I am. There's choosers, there's takers, there's begging, heartbreakers. I don't wanna be that way. You will never hear me say, come hold me, console me, when really I'm lonely. Even if I feel this way, I don't wanna feel this way. When I meet someone, I don't want to need no one.
happy, pick me up. I realize that someone's me. What you call life, that ain't living. Left the child, it's got his own. It's my season now, I stand alone. Just thought that I would let you know. Some things you just can't control.
Should I wear my hair in a ponytail?
Should I? Push and shove, right or wrong, you judge the same. My picture never fit your frame. What you thought, you'll never know. You can't see me with all my clothes. Oh no, no.
Oh,
what you think?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Go to work in a miniskirt.
Am I
giving you the right to flirt?
We had The One by Georgia Smith. We had the new single from Kylie Minogue. It's called Say Something. And that's come off her new disco album, which she announced is coming out in September, October, November. Sometime in the near future. That last song was by Deborah Cox. And it was called Absolutely Not. And that was from, I listened, where did I hear that one? Oh, Canada's Drag Race. Mm. Are you watching Canada's Drag Race, Ashley?
Oh, I definitely am watching Canada's Drag Race. It's not as good.
What? Not as good as?
I don't like the way that the judges are set up and the fact that RuPaul's not there. But I like some of the queens. I like their humour style. I think Canada has got his own humour style that I quite like.
See, me and a good friend, we're massive RuPaul fans, and we were discussing it the other day, and we said it's like going back to early RuPaul, where it's just a little bit tacky, but it's
a little bit.
I love that they're all getting the opportunity. The judges are all getting the opportunity, and I like the guest host element. I'm liking it more than, and I loved Celine Week last week.
sorry, what's the name of the lady that sang Oh Greta Rian?
Yeah, I know who you mean. Piaf?
Oh, Edith Piaf. Her impression was outstanding.
Obviously, Mark and Nikki, you're watching Canada's Drag Race because you're contributing so much to this discussion.
Drag Race thing ever, because...
You should do Canada one because it looks tacky. It's a bit like the British one. It's a bit tacky, a bit rough around the edges.
Oh, I'll watch it then. I like the British one.
It's very good. So some good tracks there. We've got loads more music still to come. So we'll make sure we have a short little talk and then we will go back to a lot more music. So we left the discussion and we were talking a little bit around, I said, hold the rejection element. And, you know, would you say Ashley, you're a very confident person and you could go up to people in a bar and just ask them out?
Yes. I don't know if it's to do with how I've grown up. I've always been very, very aware that life is very short, experiencing quite a bit of loss in my life and one quite recently. Life is very short, and if you don't ask, you'll never know. And life's too short to play games and drag things out. And yeah, there's something to be said for like building a relationship and then those feelings like developing later on. But I don't want to waste time. I'd like to know so that it's obviously not working for me because I'm still horribly alone. But I think I'm usually the rejected. I am becoming more of the rejector now. The worst reaction.
Did you work for the NHS? Have you got like your hero status now? So they're like,
this is it. No. Oh, okay. So.
Something's just thinking. Is it related?
Yes. Oh, Grindr did this thing where you could do random speed dates on video. And you say if you like somebody and if they like you back, then suddenly your videos are connected and you can have a chat with them. I had a chat with a few guys. It was quite nice. It was quite odd. It was quite interesting. And this is in the middle of lockdown. And one guy that I connected with that we started talking on video, we actually started having quite a nice chat and we were getting along really well. And then he said, oh, why have you got to get up early tomorrow? And I said, oh, I'm working. I'm working for the NHS. And then his video went and I messaged him saying, was it internet or was it me saying that I work for the NHS? And he said, oh, no, it's you saying you work for the NHS. I've had to clap for you this entire lockdown.
He's a catch.
No one liked him. No one put a blooming gun to his head.
So I've got dinner with him next week. I'm joking. But then the worst reaction
rejected
I've had.
Rejected because you work for the NHS is the best rejection story.
Yeah, that was one of the NH no. But I went on a date with a guy from Grindr and we met up, went to a restaurant and had dinner and it went well. I'm very career oriented. I've done 5 years of uni and a year's work in between that just to get to the job that I'm in. And I've obviously worked, I work really hard. And the guy that I went on a date with was my age. And he worked in a call center, which is fine. And I said, but what's your sort of plan? Because he lived with his parents. So what's your plan? He went, I'm just going to stay at the call center, really. I was like, no, but like, you know, like, are you going to like, have you got other dreams or are you going to like work your way up through the call center? He went, oh no, I don't want to go into management or anything like that. Like I've got a cushy job as it is. It pays for the gym and me drinking with my mates. I'm not having to pay rent at home. I was like, oh, so after the date, I said, look, I'm not really interested in pursuing a relationship because I like the idea of a guy having his own career and thing that he's interested in and that kind of jazz. And he said, oh, you make me so mad, I want to punch you in the face. He said, I never go on dates from Grindr. You're the first one I went on. And how dare you, blah, blah. We didn't even kiss. I got nothing out of that date.
So I want you to hold the Grindr. I want to discuss when we come back for some music. I'm going to say tell you something in a minute, though, before we do. But I want us to hold the Grindr dating versus hookup discussion because I think that's an interesting discussion to have. Maybe not for Mark and Nikki, but I'm sure you'll be able to chip in.
Yeah, and also not sure how much of my private life I want to share with you, Han.
No, I don't mean you have to share details, but I think it's
there's
interesting
nothing to share.
It's interesting to hear you say a date from Grindr because that's not it. What, you know, maybe a couple of years ago that wouldn't be as common as it maybe is now. So I want to discuss that just about rejection and stuff. I think I come off quite a confident person when it comes to most things, but when it comes to dating, I am ridiculously nervous about it. So I will be quite cocky via message on Tinder or Grindr or something, but when it actually comes to a physical meetup, I like turn into a wreck, like a nervous wreck.
Which is why I think you should come and do improv with us.
Because... No, because I think it would be even worse. Anyway, let's...
Can I just say something about this just quickly?
Rejection.
For me, it's not even about rejection. It's not my the reason I don't go and approach people or chat to people, want to, you know, make a move, if you like. It's not about me being rejected. It's about making, I don't want to make them feel like awkward and uncomfortable.
Oh.
And that it's always been the way for me. Mm. And that's always stopped me.
I mean, no, I do hear quite, what you're saying.
I don't want to be rejected either. Obviously, no one wants, I mean, there are people who, that kind of thing they get off on. There are very few of them. But it's never been a question of being rejected. It's always been, I don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable.
I understand that, Mark. And obviously, if you go over to them, grab them on the bottom and say, "Here, darling, get your coat," I'm feeling uncomfortable. I think I've had it before when I've been out. It's bloody rare, but I've had it before where someone's approached me and said, "Hiya, I saw you from across the bar and I just wanted to say that I quite like you and if you want to get a drink at some point." Mm. And even if I said yes or no, regardless, somebody approaching and saying that I think you're really attractive, by the way, it's a lovely
boost. Yeah.
It's not, but it's, I think it goes further than that. I think it's a personality trait of me, because it's not necessarily about even dating. If I go to a bar or a pub or something, I don't do that very often. Or even a party where there are other people there that I know I will stand on my own.
Yeah.
I don't want to go and break into a circle of people because they're having a chat and I feel like I'm imposing myself.
Oh, I penetrate rings left, right and centre. Like, find a ring of people, jump in it.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
You might be saving that conversation.
Exactly. Very much, I understand all that. But I mean, I've done it so many times in my life where I've been at a party and I'm just standing there and there's all these people. And there's gangs. I went to this thing on Friday. I went to all my mates and there's all little groups of people having a chat. And some of the time I'm just sitting there.
Yeah, now see, I'm fine at parties, and I will always, if on a night out, I'll always make friends. New people, meet new people. But when it comes to, like, yeah, talking to someone I fancy out, and, or, you know, if I fancied someone while I was out, I'd probably ignore them more than talk to them. And, you know, that is that type of element. I don't know, it's just how your brain
works. I imagine, I come across as a confident person as well, I think. Lots of people. Yeah. Because I can do improv. I'm on the radio. I do the radio.
Yeah.
You know, I find it very. Ever since I've been a kid, I've always found it very difficult to join in. Joining in is also is part of dating, because you've got to join in.
We'll teach you some starter lines.
Is
that one of them? All right, babe.
Throwing Nikki face first into this conversation, because obviously when I met Nikki was one of those people that just chatted and chats to everyone.
Yep.
And I obviously fell in love with Nikki as soon as I met her, then got to know her, fell out of love with her. But you're one of those kind of people. So what do you think, Nikki? Do you go through like peaks and troughs of like isolating yourself a bit, or do you still just like work in a room no matter the situation?
Do you know what? The strangest might come as a real shock, but I'm incredibly insecure.
Really?
Insecure. And I think I overtalk as a way of managing my nerves. I do struggle enormously at parties if you know, I don't know people. It definitely takes Dutch courage. I'll always have to have a couple of drinks before I go. And I am incredibly insecure. May seem like the life and soul, but
no, I know what you're saying, though.
One tiny little thing, and I will look for people's cues. They might be visual cues, they might be verbal cues. And if there's any kind of negativity, then I will run to the other side of the room and
I can see what you're saying there, because I use humour to try and get people to like me. And if people find me funny, then I feel better. And then that all works out well for me. But I went to a house party once where none of my jokes were landing. I could not work out what people's comedy styles were. And I ended up feeling worse and worse and worse.
But there's
and
a lot, there's a lot.
You should have gone to that BNP party.
Oh, that was what it was.
There's a lot of people that, you know, a lot of my friends that I would think in a situation would be really quite, you know, easy to have conversation, you know, joining conversation stuff. But actually, when you start to know them a lot better, they do really struggle. There's a lot of our mutual friends, Nikki, are like that as well. Mm. I think it's a thing. And I think people, you know, I worry about people rebuilding that social element after lockdown, because everything's been done, you know, virtually. When people are starting to see people in person again, are they, you know, people that don't like integrating with people generally probably will never ever go out again. Anyway, it's getting depressing now. Let's actually, we're gonna play your choice.
Yay! My favorite love song.
Your favorite love song. And yeah, we'll play a couple more after that. We'll be back in a couple of tunes.
Can't stop thinking about it. How much longer?
Well, at least someone brought a bit of class to that trio.
Oh, stop it. Only because your track was just played. So we had Accidentally in Love by Counting Crows. We had Dead Ringer for Love by Meatloaf featuring Cher. And we just had If I Can't Have You by Yvonne Elliman.
Elliman.
Yeah. From the soundtrack of Saturday Night Fever. And Counting Crows, that Accident in Love is from the Shrek soundtrack, isn't it?
Yeah, it was around before, but they used it for the Shrek 2 soundtrack, which actually was an exceptional soundtrack.
Shrek 2. Never good sequel, but it's not too bad. Nikki, you said you had a lovely romance story for Saturday Night Fever.
Well, I do.
You're willing to share it.
I am willing to share it because I was working in Rhodos in Greece. I was working on Rhodes Island and I worked next door to a nightclub. And one day the DJ from the nightclub next door came in to the bar where I was working with a huge bouquet of roses and that on a cassette.
For who?
How romantic.
Was it for you?
For me. And it was for me.
Oh,
that's cute.
That is cute. I'm talking about...
No, he didn't.
Were any roses?
I had roses, but
the cassette. Talking about stories, Ashley's been trawling the net for the best agony aunt questions. So let's have a couple and let's see what our responses would be.
Okay, so the first one I have...
Are these Deirdre? Are they Deirdre ones?
There's a mixture, but there are some Dear Deirdres in here. This one is a Dear Deirdre. My boyfriend and I have a good relationship, but there are times when he dons a Darth Vader mask and refuses to answer to anything other than Darth Kickass. What should I do?
I suppose it all depends. It all depends how much you love him.
No, just if he refuses to answer, he's a moron and you've got to get rid of him straight away.
Basically, no, I know my answer. My answer is not get rid of him, to stop shaving, straighten your entire body hair and become Chewbacca. And like...
Nikki.
Oh, I'm going to say, did that come with their phone number? Because if she don't want him,
you'll have
him. I'm in.
What a mix.
I'll feel that force. Okay, so then... The next question, we might need to ask Nikki about this because I think she's the only person here who's qualified to answer. Will playing with my breasts make them bigger? My boyfriend insists it will. He's 22 and I'm 19. He spends the evening fondling my breasts to see if his theory works. I don't think there's any truth in it, and I really wouldn't mind them having a rest.
So I've just got to say... What 19-year-old writes to Dear Deirdre?
Well, this was in the 90s.
Still.
I'm not sure that they were still 19 in the 90s.
from a clinical perspective, I assume if he's bruising them slightly, they may become slightly inflamed.
Tell her to wait till she has a child. That's all I'm saying. Well, not that I've got experience from that. But
when I was feeding my first baby, I tell you what, I had absolute blooming rockets. I felt like Beyonce. I felt like Madame Beyonce.
I just don't get why you'd ask that question, knowing it's going to be in the public domain. Right, one more.
This one's okay. okay. This one was on Yahoo Answers.
Oh God.
My boyfriend talks too much during sex. We've been together a year, and recently he started talking to me while we're intimate. At first, it was everyday stuff, like what he wants for dinner, but essentially, he began ranting. You know how hard it is to climax while listening to someone talk about how many bands have produced disappointing second albums. What do I do?
Oh, dear.
Well, I've got something that she could do. She could play this track. Which is very sexual. This is Inside My Love by Minnie Riperton.
Oh,
hey, my choice.
Yeah. of Siamese twins, some Argentines without means do it. People say in Boston even beans do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. Romantic sponges, they say, do it. Oysters down in Oyster Bay, do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. Cold cake, cod clams, against their wish, do it. Even lazy jellyfish do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. Electric eels, I might add, do it. Though it shocks him, I know. Shad and row in shallow shows, English souls do it. Goldfish in the privacy of bowls do it. Let's do it. Let's fall all in love.
So we had The Filth from Minnie Riperton, Inside My Love.
I don't know what that was about.
It was absolute snot.
Around her house, I think that was about.
It's about what?
I mean, she says come inside because it's raining. I think it's about that.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to call my guidance counsellor. I had to call my life coach.
I've never heard someone scream like that before. And then we had Ella Fitzgerald. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. And I'm loving Ella Fitzgerald at the moment. It's my like work playlist. Have it on.
Oh, there's so much to find. I mean, that was written by Cole Porter, who was a genius as a lyricist. And there's so much stuff. Fantastic. I love Ella Fitzgerald.
So I've still got. Sorry, what was you going to say, Nikki?
I said, me too.
Yeah.
I nearly chose an Ella track actually today, but it was a toss up between Minnie and Ella, and Minnie won.
Already there. I've got two songs I want to squeeze in. So this is just a really quick goodbye. Ashley, did you want to finish on one of your other favourite Agony Aunt?
Okay, I'll choose. I'm so sorry. I'll choose this one. This is Dear Deirdre. My boyfriend recently bought an RS Turbo and openly brags about it being better than sex with me. This has really knocked my confidence.
I bet he has.
And my boyfriend is 22. I've been seeing him since last summer and I really love him. And I'm obsessed with him, but I live every day aware that he loves his car more than me. It's embarrassing when he compares it to me in front of my mates. Also says that he's got better trims than my bottom does.
He has got to go, girlfriend.
I think this is unanimous. Let's not keep him.
Let's not keep him. So I do implore all of our listeners and people here today, go online and search the best Agony Aunt questions and you will not be disappointed.
We could probably do a whole show on it.
Or we could. A short one was why do my nipples itch, but I didn't want to go into that.
That's probably because her boyfriend was playing with them too much, maybe. So thank you, Nikki Nicholas.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Mark Lancaster.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
And thank you, Ashley Edwards. And I'm going to leave you with two thoughts. I'm going to leave you with, at the end of the day, what's love got to do with it? And I can only give you the best of my love. Goodbye. See you in a month.
Love you all.
Love you all.
You must understand the touch of your hand makes my pulse react. That it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl, opposites attract. It's physical, only logical. You must try to ignore that it means more than.
What's love but a second-hand emotion?